Hey everyone, before we get into it today, if you've ever thought about starting your own podcast or taking your current one to the next level, you have to check out Podigy Podcast. They didn't just help us launch this show, which we need a lot of help with. They made it look and sound amazing with custom artwork, killer music, and they guided us through the launching of the show step by step. Now they handle everything for us, editing, producing, you name it. All we do is hit record and they do the rest. Trust me. If you're serious about podcasting, you need them in your corner. Click the link in the show notes to schedule a free one-on-one podcast game plan session with them. You won't be sorry. Welcome to the Path Podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True Path Consulting, where our mission is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and true success. I want to thank you for pressing play on whatever device you're listening to us on today. It means a lot to us that you are here. Our hope is that through our stories and interviews that you will find something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious and possibly something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, the goal of this podcast and in our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without needing the motivation of that personal or professional crisis. We'll bring up topics and curate discussions that'll help you take action to find out how you are showing up in the roles that are or should be a priority in your life, ultimately helping you paint the picture of who you want to be and walking with you to figure out what the heck is getting in your way from becoming your ideal self. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable and instead be more intentional in following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally welcome my partners that are going on this journey with us. Toby, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm looking forward to, as I say every time, and I do like every one of the topics we bring up. I think I say the same thing every time, but I just love what we're doing and love the spaces that we're spending time talking about. But all in all, I'm doing great. So thanks, Chris.
You got it, man. I can't wait till you're like, yeah, I'm really not looking forward to this conversation, but I'm here and I'm going to power
really
through
be
it.
And,
yeah. Stu, what's up, buddy?
You know what? We're going to try something different on this podcast. Chris, let me check in with you. How are you today?
Hey. Oh, look at that. I'm doing great, man. Yeah, yeah, I'm doing great. I just told these guys I got about 4 hours of soccer ahead of me because my youngest made JV and then my oldest is a senior. He's in on varsity. So varsity or JV plays before varsity. So Joy and I get to sit in the stands and eat concession food. I'm on a tour of the pretzels. Ooh. In each stadium, and I'm ranking the pretzels in the stadium. So I have to have a hot pretzel in every stadium I go to. So it's something for me to look forward to other than watching my kids play soccer for four straight hours. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Toby, you and I are in the presence of the coaching Dave Portnoy of coaching. He is no longer doing pizza. He's taking on pretzels. So
that's right.
And when there's a spinoff of True Path Podcast and Chris is running around high school stadiums eating pretzels, we know we've made it.
Dude, that's a good idea. I like that. I might record it tonight.
Send it to us. We'll let you know.
There you go. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm doing really, really well. Like Toby says, it's a luxury to be a part of this. And, you know, I think... you know, what's interesting about recording these podcasts is life is going on outside of the topics that we walk in here. So what's interesting is how life is happening and these topics kind of lay over it. You know, we recorded one about emotional regulation earlier and how that's showing up right now in my life. We're talking about Toby's going to walk in a great topic for today and that's showing up in my life today. So it's just interesting how all of these topics are always present at some level. So I'm excited to dive deeper into today's topic. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tobe, get started, buddy.
Yeah. Today, we're going to tackle the concept, around, imposter fears. I've also called, you know, been known to it being named imposter syndrome, imposter complex. So there's a lot of different ways to say it. I'll stick with the, imposter fears for now. And, you know, as a coach in the business world, you know, I do talk a lot with people around this topic. And for me, it's around, you know, those, if I was going to boil it down to what it means for me, it's really those insecurities that come up for each and every one of us when we believe that maybe we're not as accomplished, or we don't feel as, that our expertise is where it should be, or that we're going to show up as a fraud. That's a word that usually gets a lot of people's attention with regards to, I feel fraudulent in showing up and acting in this way because I don't feel I'm as good are good enough as they need me to be, want me to be, and that others will feel about me. So it's definitely something, again, I don't think it's a new topic for people out there because it's been brought up a lot. And so for me, it's just taking time for the three of us to talk about our experiences personally, as well as we coach people, as we've worked and led people and been led by people, that when do those things show up for us and how does it impact us and what ultimately have we done or coach people around with regards to getting through those fears and worries. I think for me, just to kind of start this, and then Chris, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, is, you know, just naming for sure the fears, you know, as we talk about emotional regulation in the last podcast we did, you know, naming that I am fearful, naming that I have some insecurities, naming that I may believe that I'm not, you know, capable enough, and that others are better suited for this particular role I'm playing or job I'm in or this moment I'm having. I think that's a powerful beginning. But I'd be curious, Chris, on your experiences with imposter fears from your own right, as well as a coach, anything and everything you'd like to hit on with regards to this, you know, psychological phenomenon, imposter fear.
Yeah, it's interesting. From a coach perspective, you know, I use my own experiences and try it out a lot and some of the people that I'm talking to. And when I think about imposter fears or complex, it usually shows up in my life when I'm not doing great, or when I'm not taking care of myself, or when I'm burnt out, or when I haven't worked out in a while, or when I haven't meditated or journaled or whatever, right? And that's why that's when the fears show up. Now I'm feeling confident about myself, and I just went for a long run, and I eaten well, and I'm meditating, and I'm asking my kids how they're doing, and I have a good relationship with them. It doesn't show up at all for me. I feel like I can take on the world, you know, and it doesn't even get introduced. But as soon as that belief in myself, I woke up late and pressed snooze and didn't go for a run. And then that turned into me not journaling. And then that turned into me rolling into my first meeting, not as prepared and energetic as I want to be. And it's almost like a ball rolling down a hill and just collecting and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger until the fear kind of just really shows itself. And then it becomes a little bit debilitating. And it handcuffs mm-hmm. me. So a lot of times when my clients start to introduce this concept to me, I, you know, the old, hey, how are you really, it's the next question. And usually the same things are showing up for them. They're not taking care of themselves. And so I don't want to say it's like an easy fix, like, oh, just go out for a run, or hey, just go, you know, ground yourself and get meditated real quick. And then you're great. It is identifying it, Tobe. And One other thing that's really helped me, and I owe this to my friend in my Lumia class that introduced this to me, Natalie, surrendering to it. And what if that is true? Like, all right, Mr. Imposter, what if that is true? And it's almost, a lot of times it's laughable, right? When it's like, all right, hey, if no one in the world listens to this podcast, or no one in the world, like, what else? All right, what if that is true? Well, I don't know. I'll figure something out. I'll go do something else, or I'll find my passion and put my energy towards something else. So it's a lot of that for me too. It's going inside and really identifying, hey, how are you doing? Are you taking care of yourself? And then, just identifying the imposter and just surrendering to it. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. What I'm hearing you saying is you're really naming it, right? And then really checking in emotionally with yourself of like the impact of it or the moment you're having. And I love that, man. How about for you, Stu, your relationship with imposter fears, either personally or as a coach or as a leader, as a president, all of those things?
Yeah, it shows up in two places for me. You know, as a self-proclaimed people pleaser by nature, I'm predisposed to play the imposter role a lot in my life. And so, you know, what I have found as, you know, more recently is that when I enter into, back to Chris's point, when I enter into situations confident and clear on boundaries and clear on values, then I tend to not work towards people pleasing behavior, which then doesn't necessarily put me in the position of having to own that imposter. And a lot of times, new scenarios, I think we all, you know, that's where it tends to show up for me a lot when I meet new people. And my assumption is that I need to be a certain version of myself to be accepted. And so I play this role that I know is not authentic. And what it has done for me in the past is it pleases that person maybe in the moment. But what it does is invite people that I really don't want in my life, right? And I end up having these people where I'm an altered version of myself that they liked, but it's not the true me. So then I get caught in this crux of having a lot of people interested in being in my life, but for the wrong reasons with the wrong guy. And so I end up in that place of kind of being unauthentic. So personally, that's where it shows up for me, is like in that space. Professionally, just to take 2 seconds and share a quick story of, and this has someone that all three of us know and love very well in it, is I was a vice president, regional vice president, was driving around, going out to my offices, my director's office, and I call my boss and I would be like, man, these fucking, you know, they're being imposters, they're fake as shit, you know, and I would vent this feeling that the people I was going to meet were unauthentic and were telling me what I wanted to hear. But if I dug deeper into it, I realized that they were either lying or their skills weren't that good. So the word imposter kind of started to weave its way in. And I was on a highway going about 75 miles an hour, calling my boss at this time, telling him this story. And he paused and he said, that's an interesting word, imposter. It's a very interesting word. Tell me a little bit more about that. And as soon as he pushed back, the floodgates started, the tears started. And the reality was I was projecting this word imposter on everybody because I wasn't able to connect the dot between their gap and where they needed to go. So I made it their issue, right? They're the problem, this. And so that word imposter in a work setting got put into place mentally for me. And then I started to be curious, well, where else is that showing up? And that's where the people pleasing connection came from. So it was really that moment of me judging others for their authenticity and realizing in that moment that was actually me exposing myself, and that the gap was I was the imposter, and it was easier to, you know, to put that label on somebody else to take the or to create a distraction so the attention was off me. But at the end of the day, it was me not owning my gap. And my gap in that moment was the ability to connect operational behaviors. And I would motivate people and assume that that would be enough to connect the dot. But my gap was I wasn't very good at teaching people tactically developing them. And so I'd make it their fault. So again, imposter to me has shown up a lot of different ways. But in a personal setting, it's that people pleasing trigger that gets me in trouble. And from a work setting, it's not being honest about what my shortcomings are and owning them and not displacing them on others.
Wow. Yeah, that's great, Stu. Thanks for that. Thanks for that real life example. Yeah, that was, you took me in the car ride, buddy. I feel like I was in the back of there, buddy. And it was on speakerphone, but you know, you bring up a good point that is somewhat related, but I think worthy of note on this call is, you know, as we're doing and encouraging our audience and each other and our paths here of doing self-discovery and certainly, you know, connecting with ourselves, usually the behaviors of other people that trigger us the most, you guys know where I'm going to complete the swing on this, is usually all about us, you know, like, so you brilliantly nailed it, man. Like you were so upset and F-bombing these imposters And there's a reason why those trigger. And none of us want to cop to it because it's so much more powerful for us to, oh, I hate that. I hate, you know, like victim mentality for me is a tips me over all the time, you know, like moaning and complaining and not doing anything about it. And it's because I know that I haven't dealt with and haven't worked through my own level of victimness. And boy, you, when you flip that baby around, boy, that's uncomfortable. Mm. I mean, uncomfortable, but I love where you went with the imposter. You know, one of the things that comes up for me, and I would love, again, just a real life conversation, guys, about your own experiences with when you felt it. I know for me, when I got into coaching and started to work with, you know, mentors of my life and knowing that, you know, there's no way I would ever be them in a million years from education, life experiences. And you guys know the gentleman I'm referring to, but both psychologists, I mean, come on. And I remember that first time I was on my own, and Chris, you and I talked a little bit about that on kind of some stuff you've been doing in the recent month. And I remember all I would kept thinking to myself is how I compare. So the imposter fear for me was a comparison, and all I couldn't get myself unhooked from who I would never be like, and it never really grounding that, you know, like, hey, I might be pretty good at this, or I might be okay, or I might have a message, or I might have a voice worthy of listening to, or I might be able to lean in. And I just kept thinking of all the things I don't and don't show up with. And there's a great quote. I meant to write down who it was. I'll need to do that later. But comparison is the thief of joy. And it really is true to that when it comes to imposter fears, is that that's, I think, a big piece of this imposter syndrome fear complex, if you will, is that comparison. So, you know, how to get through it and how to move on with that. I think there's some techniques on that. But Chris, I would curious about your own thoughts about that in regards to just this level of comparison that we hold ourselves to, that we would never hold people we love or care about to the same level, but yet we'll do it to ourselves all day long.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you're asking me this because you're my sounding board, because I'm on a meeting or I'm doing a new assessment or whatever. And, you know, there's a ton of imposter complexes going into that. You know, am I going to do it right? Am I going to show up for these guys right? Am I the client, the partner that they want in this? And I mean, when you talk about imposter complex, I mean, I wake up with it every day in some way, shape or form. Especially doing what we're doing, everything's new, you know. And I don't know. I don't know if, you know, after 25 years in corporate America, I mean, it showed up a little bit from time to time, right? And what we did, but I mean, I had a little bit, a lot more control of it because I had a big title and I had experience and tenure and had relationships and so on and so forth. So I think I could fake it a little bit more. In this, it's all new. I mean, Stu and I are going through a certification program to coaching, and everything's new there. Toby's introducing assessments to us that we're learning and jumping into all along the while we're trying to build a business. And we're so passionate, and I'm, you know, you guys know me. I mean, I'm super passionate about what we're doing and where we're going. We all are, but there's a lot of imposter in that, the whole concept of that. Like, am I enough? Are people going to like what we have? Why would they buy from me? Why would they want to partner with me? You know, all those things constantly go in my head. And, you know, it's through stories. And I think that's where I wanted to go with it. It's through who you partner yourself with. And I have you guys to go through it with me, which is awesome. And then Tobe, you've shared your imposter when you were in my stage, and that's helped me tremendously. And I know I'll get through it. And I don't have as much comparison. Like, I'm pretty comfortable with who I am. And I don't tend to compare, but I do respect, you know, like I respect how you speak. I respect your education, your model, like the things that you do. And I want to learn from you, and I'm a growth minded learner. But my imposter shows up more, less on comparison and more in just, am I enough? You know, and that's something that I've had to deal with my whole life. But you've helped me tremendously through it, man. And I, again, the fact that we do this together, Stu sent a reel. He was ripping through Facebook reels like he tends to do. And he sent this one. It was on, you know, this interview with Barstool president. And at the end of it, it just said, you know, and she asked me, well, how's it? I forget what was the question, Stu, that she answered at the very end.
Yeah, it was kind of like, well, what's it been like, you know, going through that journey with Lars?
Yeah, and she's like, it was fucking awesome. And, you know, I don't think it was awesome. I mean, we're, you know, but like the fact that she said that, like she's through it now. And when she looks back, and I wrote back in the Facebook, like, we got to remember that this is fucking awesome. Yeah. You know, we got to keep that front and center and not let the imposter take over and that fear of not being enough take over. And that's how it shows up for me, Tobe.
I think her comment was, and it sucked building the entire thing, but man, was it worth it at the end. And that, you know, that feeling of kind of embracing the suck and realizing that some of this without having to have all the answers is so true and what we're feeling, you know, and that, you know, that's a big part of the ego. You know, I'm learning is that, you know, my biggest imposter in this phase has been me trying to sell what my purpose is to other people. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, landing on this career path of being an executive coach and building this business with two of my great friends and having this moment. And then I go out to a dinner party and they're like, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm an executive coach. And that's not good enough for me. Right. That it's fine for them. But for me, I find this need to justify that decision, leaving a president job, multi-billion dollar. Now, you know, and it's like, well, what if this is actually who I was always meant to be? And that was the derailment, right? That should never have happened. It happened, but maybe this was the calling. And actually the imposter was me living that other life. And so, you know, it shows up for me. It's, you know, borderline insecurities and not having that narrative down. But I feel kind of like a fraud when I'm talking about being a coach. I remember my dad, you know, he comes up a lot on these in a good way this time. But I called him and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to, you know, join with my partners here and we're going to build this executive coaching. He's like, how are you qualified for that? You're not a therapist. And I was like, well, no, I'm not a therapist. And then had to go through explaining it all. And that vulnerability, I started to behave different in that conversation and started to sell it, the need of it. And it was like, but it was enough for me to just say, I'm an executive coach and I'm damn proud of it and I'm excited about it. And being able to regulate that imposter of, as soon as I triggered to where I thought the audience didn't think what I was saying was valuable enough, that imposter kicks in and it's like, all right, sell the dream, sell the value, why they should be excited for me. And it's like, how much fucking energy have I wasted in 52 years trying to get other people to believe in my dream? It's like, it's my fucking dream, you know, love it. My dream.
That's great, man. Yeah. I really appreciate that from both of you. I think I would love to, you know, pivot towards like what some suggestions you guys have, you know, like this audience, like I said earlier, I think everybody's had imposter fear in one shape or form and will do probably, and we all will continue to have that, especially people that are always growing and evolving. Embedded in that is the fear of I'm not enough in these moments. So it's kind of that the dark side of growth maybe could be just that anxiety that's around the corner of any like, wow, can I really do this? I'm not great at this, but I could be great at this. So I you know, one of the things I'll kick us off with in terms of a suggestion is, you know, I talked about comparison. The other thing that I do talk to a lot of people about is that mindset of perfectionism and how that plays into our inner critics. You know, when we hold the bar of everything we do has to be perfect. And even in, as I referenced this, you know, trying new things and growing and evolving, just, you know, the dark side of that is, you know, you can't go into these situations with a perfect mindset because you've never done it before. You know, and I know as a father, skiing's our thing as our family goes. And I remember our kids at an early age. And my dad took me skiing when I was 3 and has been skiing my whole life. And, you know, and he taught us. But when I took our kids to go skiing, you know, the first thing they were doing is comparing their abilities with my abilities. And, you know, I'm sitting here like, hey, we're just going to inch our way down this hill. And I remember Jack, my oldest, being like, but dad, I can't do it like you do it. And it's frustrating. He's throwing the poles down and just having a moment on the ski lift, which, you know, I mean, that, look away. But it's, you know, it's he had to do it perfect. And so he wasn't going to try it or wasn't going to keep moving. Now, the thing about skiing is there's only one way. So it's downhill, boys. So they had to get through, like, I have to do it well enough to get myself down there. And the bigger message, thank God that we talked about it, you know, the day after the first day of skiing was, is like, what did you take from it? What'd you learn from it? What was it? And so I just remembering to people, and I know some just won't get off this, well, perfectionism, you know, is the only way I think about things. And I'm like, well, but do know then that you're going to continue to struggle with this imposter fear. So it's something to look at, you know, how can I learn? How can I grow? How can I be good enough in whatever it is that I'm first trying out? And at some point you'll get close to probably being really good at it. I don't know that ever be perfect, but I think that's just a, you know, as one idea I would give to everybody is just really taking a look and being honest first about your methodology, your mindset's probably a better way of saying it, about when you do start to really grow and stretch yourself and do new things. So that certainly needs to be dealt with part and parcel with those fears that'll come up for you. Chris, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, things I do to deal with it. I mean, you know, surrendering. I always talk about surrendering and just really like leaning into it and doing the work in that space has been huge for me. I don't have the answers, Tobe, because I still deal with it on a regular, especially yeah. with what we're doing. I'm still scared shitless, and but when I'm able to surrender to it and kind of really label it, you know, what am I scared of, or what am I angry about, or whatever it is, I tend to be able to deal with it a little bit more and put it in perspective a little bit more. I think the old me used to just embellish it and give into it. And it was just, you know, it just grew and grew and grew. And then I would get it validated by how I was showing up. And I would get stuck there for sometimes weeks. And again, completely debilitating. And now I've just been able to give myself the space I need to really call it out for what it is. And I have a lot of confidence in myself. And I think I have a lot of confidence in myself right now because I'm following my passions mm-hmm. and I'm aligned with my values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, imposter shows up when you're not aligned with your values, you're not following your passion, then it's like, it's screaming at you. But when you're aligned with your values and your passions, it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm going to figure it out because this is what I want to do. And this is who I am. And this is where my heart is. And it just makes it that much easier when you're able to get to that point. I'm super blessed to be in this point in my life. And I'm hopefully can stay here for a long time. We talk about that a lot, right? And growing the company. It's like, hey, I don't want to do stuff that's not in line with my values or my purpose or who I want. I've done that for two decades. I don't want to do that moving forward. And that's just given me a lot of confidence to deal with whatever shows up. My insecurities, my imposter, my fear, whatever. And so I think the more you get aligned with who you really are and who you really want to be, I think that gives you a lot of control over that voice in your head that's telling you you're not enough.
I love it, buddy. And listen, I my ask of you is to keep leaning into that powerful idea, concept, behavior of surrender. It's never going to get too old for me because I think we fight against ourselves so often. And if people yeah. could just really surrender to ourselves. And I love what you said, though. When you're passionate and you're finding their path and your journey, the fear is going to be there, but it won't be a fraudulent fear. You know, you're not worried about who you're not as a fraud, but you're fearful and excited, and that's living. So I appreciate it. You've got ideas. So I appreciate hearing what those ideas were. Stu, how about for you? What's some of those thoughts or suggestions you'd have for somebody that's really, you know, grappling with imposter fears?
Yeah, I think a word that you used earlier when we kicked this thing off is a word that I would stress, and that is vulnerability and being comfortable with being vulnerable around this topic. And for me, there seems to be a trend here around naming things and really being able to isolate and identify something. And for me, a lot of times it's owning what that gap is. You know, it's saying, you know, for me in a business sense, one of the things I struggled with as an executive was business development. I just had some gaps, mental gaps in that. And so, you know, at some point I started to acknowledge that publicly and say, this is something I am, you know, not intentionally, but I'm kind of steering away because I don't want to be exposed. And once that started to be shared, a couple of things happened. One was I could no longer allow that to be a gap. You know, by calling it something, it kind of brought light to it, which then gave me power to do something about it, get better at it. But the other thing was it gave other people permission to vocalize their imposter and be vulnerable and say, well, you know what? I actually am not good at this. The same thing has happened in my marriage and at home. You know, there's times when I'm showing up not, you know, as I think my wife needs me to show up. And there are gaps in how I show up as a husband at times. I'm an emotional guy. So at times I can show up incredibly emotionally. And to let her know that, hey, in these scenarios, sometimes I don't have the best control over my emotions. When those things happen, that vulnerability then provided a great conversation for her and I to have about, well, let's not put you in those situations. Let's figure out a way to get around them. So again, it's not by hiding them. What my experience has been is exposing those imposters and being very confident in sharing them, because I've slayed many dragons based on just putting a name on it and putting a spotlight on it. And that's what I feel about imposter. Now, the other thing is reframing how I talk to myself and how you communicate. Again, walking into any situation depleted is going to put you in a position to alter who you truly are. And I think there's, you know, for me, it was around self-talk and self-doubt. And it was, you know, around giving myself permission to not be perfect. You said it earlier, that striving to be the perfect husband or the perfect CEO or the perfect friend all of a sudden put me in a position to where I was judging how that showed up. And it was never going to meet the standard that I was setting. So I constantly needed to talk to myself and to really understand those voices that were telling me how I should feel about me or my strengths. And at the end of the day, being vulnerable about the imposter and then learning how to talk to myself about it changed the way the imposter, like I'm closer to where Chris is now. I wouldn't say I'm all the way there, but I wake up with it every day like he does. And what I found is when I can name it and when I can own it and be vulnerable about it, it tends to not dictate how I behave nearly as much as it does when I don't do those things. So thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks, Stu. Yeah. That was great. I really appreciate it. And Chris, thanks also for, you know, this conversation, guys, around, you know, this a very talked about condition, if you will. Which is, you know, another way of saying another emotion of ours that's got a hold of us, and it will get a hold of every one of us, and how we choose to name it and how, what we choose to do about it is really the work, and it's worth it without a doubt. Cause if anything, that syndrome can, you know, that condition can certainly hold you back from being your best. So appreciate the conversation, guys. This was really impactful for me.
Likewise.
Awesome, man. Play big, right? Hey, thanks for joining us on the path. Remember, every journey is unique and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring, stay curious, and give yourself grace as you forge your path. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path. Have a great day.